Hey everybody, Chris Fafalius here. If you enjoy One Hit Thunder, which I'm assuming you do considering you're listening to it right now, I want to tell you about another great music podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. It's called Riffs on Riffs. On this season of Riffs on Riffs, hosts Toby Braswell and Joe Watson are breaking down one iconic pop song each week. Everything from Taylor Swift's Cruel Summer to Journey's Don't Stop Believin' to Naughty by Nature's OPP. Each week, they crack open the song, trace its history, decode those cryptic lyrics, and unearth the hidden gems in its musical DNA. Not only do they dive into the song's history, lyrics, and impact, they also go down some fun and oftentimes hilarious rabbit holes. So yeah, if you're a fan of One Hit Thunder, I think you'll also enjoy Riffs on Riffs. So go hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Feels like
filmmaker, director, and Valencia guitarist Brendan Walter was one of 32 students sued by the RIAA for downloading music while he was attending Drexel University. And we have to wonder if one of the songs he LimeWired was the 1996 Donna Lewis pop gem, I Love You Always Forever. This Welsh artist took a nursery rhyme chorus and made Billboard history, which was clearly a magical time full of exotic sweetness that made an impact on Brendan as he laid under a blue sky with pure white stars.
All you need to make the money guaranteed, and you can live off royalties forever.
And it makes me wonder, is it just a wonder, or is it one hit thunder?
So Brendan, welcome to the show. You've been my friend for a long time, and I just found out a piece of information about you that I never knew this, but Matt and I had to reference your Wikipedia to find this out about you. That when you were in college at Drexel University, you actually got in some trouble from the RIAA, which I believe is the Recording Industry Association of America.
I think that sounds right. Yeah.
I think you nailed it. Yeah,
that sounds right to me. You were one of 32 students, and this wasn't just at Drexel. It was a bunch of different colleges that got busted for, I don't know, were you Napster in? Were you LimeWire in? Or what? Well, I would assume you were a LimeWire guy, right?
FrostWire?
Before college, I was LimeWire, but there was a thing in college where, like, you know, you showed up and they had like the fastest internet, and you were just like, you had access to everybody in your dorm and like all everyone on the college network, like their iTunes library. So you could just download whatever you wanted. I forget what it was called. It was like something number two something. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. And I would just,
lying about how Drexel at that time, what do you have a rough year on this?
2006, I think.
Okay. So even before then.
Yeah.
When I was a junior in high school, my girlfriend was a freshman at Drexel, and we would like, she would just download shit on my behalf because the Drexel Wi-Fi was like so much faster and quicker for downloading songs.
It was insane.
Than like your home computers. It was chaos.
Yeah, so I was like, I gotta get a hold of every single album and every song that I can find and just load up my hard drives, and it backfired. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, well, I read more, not about your particular thing, but just in general about that whole case, that they were trying to get $150,000 a song.
Oh yeah.
I don't understand, like, what? Who are you getting $150,000 from? Obviously,
Donna Lewis needs that money because I'm of the belief that he got the entire Now in a Minute album by Donna Lewis during that download spree.
You're damn right, I did. I don't know, Chris. I mean, I remember just being like, you know, I was at a party and it was like 4 a.m. and I was bored and weird, like that part of the night, and I like checked my email at this party for some reason, and like I was like, oh, there's like a weird email here from like the lawyer from Drexel, and they're like suing me, and everyone was like, no, no, you're probably fine. And then, like, this one girl was like, my mom's a lawyer. I'm going to call her right now. She, like, called her mom, and she's like, oh, no, that's real. And, like, you better find a lawyer right now, because you're going to need to settle, because if you go to court with them, you will lose everything. Your parents will lose everything. Like, it's going to be bad.
Oh, my God. What ended up happening?
We ended up settling out of court for, like, at the time, and I was, like, 17 or 18 years old, so it was, like, you know, $7,500 was like the end of the world. But my parents luckily were like, well, we'll help you there. But like, you know, if we had gotten sued and gone to court, it would have been just like, they would have destroyed us. So yeah.
Right.
They were just looking to like make examples of people and, you know, make people
settle
all the
court. You got scapegoated hard.
Big time.
Yeah. I downloaded stuff like everybody did. I downloaded stuff like crazy. Why did they? I guess because you were using the college's thing, man. You can't use the college's. I learned this when I was a freshman. So when I was a freshman, you know, with Punchline, we had our website, an Angel Fire website or whatever. Uh-huh. It was the dawn of a band having a website. But I went to Duquesne University in Pittsburgh, and I was using like the email for the college. Like it was like, Chris Fafalius at duq.edu or whatever. And dude, first of all, I always talk about this. I went to this college. I'm such an idiot. Like, or I guess maybe I was just like, oh, I don't know anything. But I went to a Catholic school. I'm not Catholic. And I went to a Catholic school. That's the first funny part of this. And second of all, so I'm using my email to like, you know, interact with people on the internet or whatever. And someone came on and like talked shit on the Punchline, like guest book.
Yeah.
So basically it was something along the lines of like, I emailed them and wrote like, fuck you, man, or something. and I got an email from like the head father, father something. Trevor would know, because Trevor went to Duquesne.
Totally.
He would definitely know who I'm talking about.
100%.
Father, whatever, is like, Christopher, I need to talk to you. I need to, about an email you sent to, and I was like, and I deleted the email, and I just never, at that point, never went and met with
of
this
course.
Father guy.
Yeah.
And and I never used that email address again. So I think the moral of the story is, don't use, if you're in college kids, don't use your college stuff for anything. Go outside of it one way or another.
Dude, that like gasp moment that you were talking about, like seeing that email, I literally had that like 6 months ago. Do you remember I texted you about it? I was doing a video, one of the videos for the Geekscape YouTube channel, and I had to pull a bunch of footage from like old Twilight Zone episodes, and I have every season of Twilight Zone on DVD in my basement, but I was like, I don't want to drag them all up here and like individually rip the different episodes that I need in my hard drive. Let me just hop on uTorrent and just I'm sure someone has uploaded like a zip file of every episode. And I downloaded it, and all of a sudden I got an email from my internet provider being like, hey, we just got a notification that you downloaded like all of this stuff, and if it happens again, we'll pull your Wi-Fi from your home. And I was like, oh,
wow.
No.
Wow. Jeez, I hate getting in trouble.
Yeah, really
it sucks
do.
Getting
My
in trouble.
Heart
especially sank. Especially as a full-grown adult. It's bad enough when you're a kid, but when you feel like you're going to get in trouble, oh, I mean, we're going down a long line here, but I got to talk. You know what's the worst is getting a letter from the IRS.
Oh, yeah. Man. The worst. Wait,
you've gotten one?
Well, we don't need to go to all the way down this, but basically like I have a guy who does my taxes for me.
Uh-huh.
And last year he somehow the IRS just like, or someone, whatever, the Social Security office just like decided that he was dead. That like, oh no, this guy is not alive anymore. We got to kill his Social Security number. So he wasn't allowed to, you know, file my taxes for me. And I didn't know it because he was just like dealing with all this shit. And he's like, I can't call my guy and be like, hold on, I can't. Let me just let you know what's going on. Like, he just was trying to figure it out. And so, like, his Social Security number was broken. Anyway, I've been having to deal with the IRS. But every time I get a letter, even though I know it's going to be about that, I'm just like, I got one the other day, and I'm just like, oh, here we go. Going to get audited. This sucks. Like,
I'm so scared of the mail.
Yeah.
Really am scared of the mail at all times.
I've got one last thing to bring up, and then we'll actually bring this around to the thing we're supposed to talk about. So speaking of like IRS and all of that craziness, when I was a freshman in college, I wasn't able to get any student loans, like no student loans, no help, because they said my family made too much money. And it wasn't until midway through my freshman year, we found out that there was a second Matthew Kelly that was born to a Jim and Donna Kelly two states away, wow, who was, wow, born the same day as me. And we, what, were both issued the same social security number.
That's
and
nuts.
It was counting our entire family's combined incomes as one family income.
Wow. That's horrible. That's horrible.
It made it so hard to file taxes. But we kicked off this episode talking about your Wikipedia bio.
Yes.
And I need to call out that the Wikipedia bio for Donna Lewis has two full paragraphs at the start just trying to figure out how old she is.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't catch
that. Yeah, well, Donna, she was in her 30s when this song hit. And basically, when they'd ask her how old she was just like, I'm not 21.
Yeah, she's like, I've been married for 9 years, so you know I'm not 21. But like, I guess the record label kept saying, yep, she was born in 1973. But like, then other people did just the tiniest bit of research and was like, she graduated college in 79.
Either she's Doogie Howser or she's lying. Right. I thought that was so cool because, I mean, I think now it says like her real age. And I was like, she was 37 when she released this song. And like, that's kind of incredible for like a, you know, a female artist to be, you know, so successful at such a late stage is so awesome. I mean, especially in the 90s, it was pretty cool in my head.
And I don't think I fully grasped how successful this song was. Like I remember this song. This song, basically the only thing that kept this from being a number one hit was the existence of the Macarena, that song.
Macarena! No! Donna Lewis is... Donna Lewis is... yeah, that sucks, man. 9 weeks in a row. It was number two. Just the Macarena kept her out of it.
She has... Here's a very quick quiz game. She holds the record of the longest time at number two, tied with two other songs.
Ooh.
Can you guess what those other two songs are that never got to number one but hung out at number two for 9 straight weeks?
This has got to be the hardest question ever. What song went to number two but didn't?
In the history of music, come on, you just got to figure out two of them. Here, I'll narrow it down. Both female vocalists have fun.
can we get a decade?
Well, so I'll give you 2 years, but one of those years will not help you even a little bit. So one of the years was 1998.
Okay.
And the other year was 2019.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Those were the peak dates anyway, but...
It's a female vocalist from 1998 who went to number two. I mean, this is kind of around Donna Lewis time.
Is it like Gwen Stefani or something? Like a... hold on.
Think a country pop crossover artist in 1998.
Oh, Shania?
Shania Twain, still the one, sat at number two for 9 weeks without getting to number one. And then the other one, you're never going to guess this, and it doesn't make any sense. In 2019, Brenda Lee's Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree was stuck at number two for 9 weeks behind Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You.
That makes no sense. I love it.
You could have given me infinite amount of guesses, and I would have never arrived at that. So this was, I mean, that's disappointing for Donna Lewis, especially because the Macarena it's pretty much novelty music.
Yes.
And I know this is like a lighthearted pop songs. It's not like this is that much better than that, you know, in the grand scheme of things. It's not that much deeper, but at least this is like a real legit like song. Yeah. Macarena almost feels like a jingle.
It feels like Who Let the Dogs Out for that era, that year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Well, this song, it very much falls into like Donna Lewis. When I was digging deeper into some of her other stuff, like she fits more in with like an Enya type thing. Like it's very like ambient new age with like just a dash of pop. Like, so the fact that this song was huge is crazy, but at the same time, This song has not one, but two massive hooks in it.
Yeah, like, the bridge of the song feels like another chorus. It's insanely like, catchy. I love it. But I always, this is a, I mean, I feel like this song in particularly, I had like just misheard all, like so many of the lyrics, but the lyric in the bridge sounds like, well, what's the lyric in the bridge?
So the lyric to the bridge is, I have it right here. I put it there. You go. Say you'll love me forever, never stop, never whatever, near and far and always and everywhere and everything.
So it always sounded like she was saying, "Say you'll never love me forever, not never love me forever." Like, why would you say the love word twice? It's so confusing. But I thought that the lyric was like, "Oh, you just undermined the whole song." I thought this was all about loving me forever, but then you're saying, "Don't love me forever." I don't know. Anyway,
that part of the song, I don't know if this is what you're referring to as the other hook, but the I guess it's the verse, it reminds me, like, that sounds like the music that would be in like a feminine hygiene commercial.
You're right, though. The verse melody gets stuck in your head. Obviously, the chorus is like a nursery rhyme that just like digs itself into your brain. The I love you always, forever, near and far, closer together, on and on and on.
Keep going.
But then, I agree. The bridge really is like a whole second chorus when it comes in.
Yeah.
With the say you love me, love me forever. But like it's just like catchy part after catchy part after catchy part.
That's like, where it hits.
That's what I mean. You almost could imagine. I remember reading that when Kid A was being written by
Donna Lewis. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I love we're talking about how do we get into Kid A from this?
When they were writing Kid A, like, I think Tom York said that he basically just wrote down lines that he thought were cool and then would just throw them in a hat and draw them at random, and that was how he would construct a song, which is why like a song like Idiotech just has like four catchy lines repeated over and over again.
Yeah.
And this song literally feels like someone just had three or four really catchy choruses but didn't know what to do with them. So it's like, I don't know, could we just put them all in the same song and figure it out?
Yeah. Like, makes the way sense. To do it.
I was also looking, and I don't know if you caught this. Well, I go to Spotify and then do like the credits and then go like who wrote it or who produced it or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And it said H.E. Bates, and I started Googling H.E. Bates. And did you guys get to this part? Like, it's based
on
the lyrics are taken from this novel from like the 1800s by this guy, H.E. Bates.
What?
Love for Lydia. They wanted to call the song Lydia originally, and the record company was like, you don't even say the name Lydia in the song. You've got to name it something else.
No, it's from the 50s. It's a novel from the 50s. But either way, I thought it was such a... I think that's kind of cool when, like, you think a song, like, isn't that deep, and it's just kind of like, oh, it's just like a love song, but, like, it comes from, like, literature, and it's like they thought about this thing and kind of, like, researched it and, like, I don't know, maybe found it some...
Yeah. The line, I love you always forever, near and far, closer together, is a direct quote from the book that they took and then turned that into the whole song.
That's awesome. I mean, did you guys know this is complete? I can't believe we're going from Kid A to Donna Lewis back to what I'm going to talk about. But I recently learned this. You know that Dropkick Murphys song that goes dun 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 shipping off to Boston.
Yep.
Do you know that was like the singer of Dropkick Murphys just found all the words to that song in a Woody Guthrie like. Had written Woody or Arlo Guthrie, one of the Guthries, had just written those as like a poem, and he just took those and turned that into that song.
Well, that's similar to a Benefit of Mr. Kite by the Beatles was literally a poster that they saw, and that was just they took what was described at this circus on the poster and put music to it.
That makes it almost less that one makes it less cool to me because I thought I was like, well, they thought all these crazy characters and like all these things, like that's awesome. But that's kind of weird.
Wow. I never knew that. How did I not know that?
Yeah, if you go on the wiki page for Benefit of Mr. Kite, I think they even have a picture of the poster that they saw. It was like a 1920s circus advertisement.
You know, I always just pictured it being like when I hear that song and I think about it, I think it being Mr. Kite. Like, there's a kite with a, like, on Pee Wee. Was there a kite on Pee Wee?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's who did the weather report.
I think of that guy. Globy, Mr. Kite,
yeah.
Cherry. What? Hey, Brendan, were you a Pee Wee fan?
Oh, yeah. Loved it.
What's your favorite segment on a Pee Wee episode? I know mine.
I want to hear yours first, but.
Mine was Penny Cartoon. I love the good Penny Cartoon.
That is nice.
I like John B. too. Mecha-leka high, mecha-hiney.
Oh, that's a classic.
Big zombie guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My least favorite is King of Cartoons. Never liked the King of Cartoons.
Your Dropkick Murphys thing kind of reminded me of the thing you said earlier about the verse sounding like a makeup commercial or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
I always think, I mean, you know, back in the day, I would hear Dropkick Murphys and be like, oh, this is so cool. But now when I hear it, I'm like, it sounds like a beer commercial, but because it's been in so many beer commercials. But I wonder if Donald Lewis at the time was like, oh, this is cool. And now it's been in so many makeup commercials that you're like, it just sounds like a makeup commercial. Like, what came first?
Hey, this is Dewey Halpas, host of Peer Pleasure on the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Join me each week as I explore another long-form conversation with one of your favorite musicians, actors, comedians, or creatives. From Chino Moreno of the Deftones, John Gorley of Portugal the Man, to Fat Mike from NoFX, and Ian MacKay from Fugazi and Minor Threat, we go all over the map. From Fall Out Boy to Slayer, Peer Pleasure has it all. Check us out now on Sound Talent Media.
By now, I'm sure you've at least heard about Factor, but if you haven't tried it yet, let me tell you as a guy who loves it, now is the time. Enjoy stress-free dining this spring with Factor's chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals that are ready in just 2 minutes. With 35 weekly options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie, plus over 60 add-ons, you'll stay fueled and feel fantastic all day long. Don't wait. Fuel up for your spring goals today with Factor. Factor offers you chef-prepared meals ready in just 2 minutes, so you can spend more time doing what you love this spring. Indulge in gourmet options like filet mignon, shrimp, and fresh veggies without the hassle of prep or cleanup. Customize your weekly meals to fit your schedule perfectly and enjoy the convenience of Factor's no-fuss, no-mess approach. Plus, you can celebrate Earth Day all month long with Factor's low carbon footprint options. Factor is your go-to solution for fast, premium meals, eliminating the need for cooking and empowering you to savor every moment. So head to factormeals.com/onehit50 and use the code onehit50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code onehit50, the words one hit and the number 50, at factormeals.com/onehit50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
It is mind-blowing.
And heartbreaking.
How many original scripts are written every year but are never made?
So we seek out these scripts and bring them to life with full audio production and professional actors.
Check us out at Undiscover Scripts.
Movies made of paper.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Free!
That's the trade-off, man. If you're going to be like, oh, that's it. I don't care. I'll sell out. Whatever. Use my song and whatever. You'll get paid, no doubt. Yeah. But then it kind of ruins the song sometimes. Like that's,
totally.
That's the trade-off, you know? And that's why, you know, I think, dude, they were using, remember that band Phoenix, they're great. Amazing band. Then they started using those songs in car commercials and it was every, like nonstop, that beat at the beginning of da-na-na-na-na, da-na-na-na-na. That amazing song, but now when I hear it, I'm like, oh, I think of this. I think it was a Cadillac. Well,
that was like the I feel like that was the 2010s. It was like no like artsy indie rock band was safe from being utilized in a million car and iPod commercials.
Like, yeah. Speaking of Radiohead, I remember there was a time where they just like, if you heard a Radiohead song in a movie, it was like, holy shit, they let it happen. Like they would never do it. Like it was like in Vanilla Sky or something like that, and like that was it. And now it's like, I feel like I hear it everywhere. They like lifted the embargo and I was like, they shouldn't have done that. It was such a cool thing that they kept the mystique.
Especially, I mean, I guess if you pick and choose and you're like, oh, this is amazing. This is an amazing movie. I want this. Brendan, we recently had on the show, we had John from 9 Days, who they used Story of a Girl and Everything Everywhere All at Once. And like, just has such an awesome story about that. Yeah, that movie, please use our songs. But, totally. But like, Hey, Brendan, speaking of songs and movies, do you remember you were literally with me when we went and saw the Punchline song in Van Wilder 2?
I remember it. It's a fantastic piece of cinema history.
I do have to ask. I don't think I've ever asked you this follow-up question, Chris. When you went and saw it in theaters after you heard the song, did you stick around for the rest of the movie or did you pack up and leave at that point?
We did because it didn't happen till like late in the movie.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It was us in Valencia that we were the only people in the theater.
I was
going to
say, I believe that's the only 8 people that saw that movie.
I can't believe it was in a theater. And like, to be honest,
it's crazy.
Like,
it was a different time, man.
So my brother and I were texting about American Pie movies, and I mentioned that I was watching one of the like straight to DVD American Pie sequels, and I can't even begin to comprehend how much money they had to have spent on the soundtrack for this particular movie. It was American Pie Presents Book of Love, which was the last direct-to-DVD American Pie release. Mm-hmm. And it has Hot and Cold by Katy Perry in it, Dance Dance by Fall Out Boys in there. Like, all, like, it is like songs that were at the peak of their popularity at the year that the DVD came out. Somehow they dropped the money. It's either they dropped the money or they just thought, none of these artists will ever see this movie. I think we can just sneakily put it.
You think they just did what we do on podcasts and just be like, whatever. We'll put the song in. No one will. That's going to be a nightmare when the hammer comes down on us, Matt. You realize that's going to be a nightmare. I want to bring it back to Donna Lewis here for a second.
Sure.
Dude, I watched her play I Love You Always Forever at the Commonwealth Games in Kuala Lumpur. Is that how you say it? In Malaysia?
Yeah.
And it looks like there are a million people at this show and they are going crazy.
Whoa.
And it's so funny because like, think about like playing in front of a million people. You know, you and I, we play in like rockin' bands, but it's them playing this like very light pop song and people are just going off. There are like in the crowd, you'll see like kind of like conga lines going through the crowd and just people are just, it's just, they're going nuts. It's almost like it's real, but it almost seems like something that someone would create, like that's funny because it's like,
oh, like the TikToks where they just replace the music with the VeggieTales theme. And it's like, here's Rob Zombie, like rocking the fuck out.
Yeah, sure. Something
this
like that.
Kids show theme song.
Yeah. Or they always take that one clip of, I don't know what band it is. It's like a hardcore band or something where it's like these real jacked guys, like, really?
Oh, yeah.
Like they're like stomping and like people are just like moshing so hard. You could put any song to that.
It's like Wham or something. Yeah.
The new one that's been kind of a favorite for me, and maybe the algorithm's just pushing it to me because of my my Christian punk past, but there's a lot of taking ska music and putting it over top of like the videos of the like the super over the top televangelists like having a religious moment on stage where they're like shaking and dancing around.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey Matt, I have a game. I have a game for you guys. Are you
okay? I like this.
You like games? So this song, I Love You Always Forever, was the highest charting single on the Billboard Hot 100 by a Welsh artist since Bonnie Tyler's Total Eclipse of the Heart in 1983.
Yeah,
so she's a Welsh artist. Some other Welsh artists are Tom Jones, the band Funeral for a Friend, Duffy, if you remember Duffy.
Oh, Warwick Avenue. Future one-hit thunder episode, potentially.
Badfinger.
Great band.
Stereophonics, and Jem, who's like a, do you guys know who Jem is by any chance?
With a J, right? Yeah.
Yes, with a J. She's a pop star who, strangely enough, is married to a guy I graduated high school with.
Weird.
and I'm also like distantly related to. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
All right.
So my game, much like we played this game about, where do we play this game about, Matt? Matt?
Belgium.
Oh, Belgium. We played this game before and I named bands and Matt had to guess whether they were a real or fake artist from Belgium. Never has anyone done worst. He had a 50-50 chance on everyone and he missed like the first 8.
I think I scored a 2 out of 10.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It was bad. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back and forth between you guys. I'll name a band. You tell me, is it a real Welsh band or a fake Welsh band?
Can we add an agree or disagree on there instead before you reveal the answer?
Okay. Yeah, we can do that.
I like that. A little challenge.
Go back and forth. Yeah. What were you going to ask, Brendan?
Oh, I was going to say the Welsh language is so crazy. I don't know if you've ever seen like those signs that are like the longest sign in the world. And it's like one word that's like 45 letters long.
Yeah.
Like, this might be difficult. We'll see.
Okay. Well, we'll see. So we'll start with you, Brendan. And then Matt can either agree or disagree. So the Bug Club.
I'm going to say fake. That's not a Welsh band.
I'm going to go with fake as well on that.
You guys are wrong. That is a real Welsh band, The Bug Club.
Okay. It's kind of a great name, actually.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. Yeah.
All right.
But it sounds like something you would make up, Chris. That's why I said
That's the secret to this game is trying to crack the code on would Chris make this up or not.
Right.
Yeah.
And you were terrible at it, Matt.
Yeah.
So, Matt, we'll go with you first this time. Asteroid Boys.
I'm gonna go with real on this.
I'm gonna challenge that. I think that's fake.
You think that's fake? Matt gets a point. That is a real boy. That is a real band. It's actually spelled Astroid, which is not how you spell asteroid. It's
right.
Asteroid.
Got it.
Asteroid Boys. All right, back to you, Brendan.
All right, here we go.
Icons of Filth.
I'm gonna say real.
Matt?
I'm going to say this is the first made-up one from Chris.
Point to Brendan. That is a real band, Icons of Filth.
All right, so we're tied 1-1
right now.
Tied
1-1. Yeah. Back to
Matt. Well, I think I get a negative point for challenging the other one. So I think
No. Let's not get too complicated.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We got to keep... I'll lose track. Yeah. Okay, Matt. Alphabetical Row, with row spelled R-H-O. Alphabetical Row.
I'm going to go with real.
Okay. Brendan?
Yeah, I challenge that.
That's you challenge fake. That? You're saying that's fake?
Yeah.
Point to Brendan.
No!
I thought I would really fool you by saying it's spelled R-H-O.
That was the only thing that made me question it for a split second is he's going out of his way to call out the spelling, but I still think that this is real.
Well, he called out the spelling in Asteroid Boys, too. So.
Yeah, but after we had made a call. Right.
Brendan's up 2-1. Okay, Brendan. Budgie.
I'm going to say fake as well.
I'm going to go real. I just can't imagine a scenario where Chris wrote the word budgie down and called it a day.
Well, actually, there would be a scenario in that because some guy who used to be in our band, Greg, used to use the word budgie to mean like he hooked up with somebody. That is actually a real band.
Yes. Wow.
So we're tied at 2. I want to give you guys each two more. You each get, so it's actually 4 more rounds. But okay, so we're back to Matt. Tied to 2-2, is that right?
Yeah.
Matt, who's Molly?
I'm going to go real.
Brendan?
Yeah, I agree.
You guys are right. Who's Molly is a band. Okay. So I think you guys kind of wash. I think it's Bags Rules. It's like if you both get it, it's a wash.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Although... Yeah.
Nah, I think
I feel like we've come too far. It's just 3-3 now.
Okay, 3-3. Fine. Fine. Okay. So... Brendan.
Yes.
Molecular Overland.
Oh, man. I'm going to say fake. That's not real.
I'm going with, again, I cannot imagine Chris just writing down Molecular Wonderland. So I'm going to go with
Molecular
fake.
Overland.
Either way, I'm writing down fake on this. You're or no, sorry, fake? Sorry. I'm writing down real. I think that you did not create this name.
All right.
Okay.
Brendan gets a point. That is fake.
Yes.
Right, I made
so
that
4-1
up.
3.
That is a wild one to make up. Yeah.
If you need a name for your band, Molecular Overland is available, as is Alphabetical Row, spelled R-H-O. Okay. So back to Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Axiom Prompter.
I'm going real.
Okay. I say fake. No, real. I'm gonna agree. It's real.
You guys are both wrong. It's fake. I made that one up.
Damn it.
Axiom
with my gut.
Prompter. Okay, so what? You each have 1 left. What's the score?
It's 4-3. So
4-3, Brendan. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is, I'm on Brendan now. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Tanked.
Say that one more time.
Tanked.
T-A-I-N-T.
Tanked. Yeah, like that thing.
Misbehaving. Like,
I want it so bad to be real, but I don't think it is. But hold on, give me a second to imagine it. It's real. It's real.
I'm going to agree with them. I feel like that's real.
That is real.
Wow.
I did not make up the name Taint.
That's an awful, awful band name.
Okay.
This and is the last one. I can maybe tie it up, but that's it.
All right. I'm trying to give you the hardest one possible.
Okay.
Tiger Tales. All one word with a Z. Tiger Tales.
You made that up.
Yeah, it's made up.
That is a real Welsh band.
Wow.
All right. Well, I still did better than the Belgium bands, I guess, but not by much.
Congratulations, Brendan. You won.
Yes. Finally.
All right. So we could get back to Donna. What's her name? Donna?
I always
call
her Lewis.
Donna Lewis. I almost called her Donna Lee.
So I was going to talk about a little bit just chart stuff real quick.
Okay.
Song peaked at number two on August 24th, 1996, as we already established. Macarena just blockaded her for 9 straight weeks. But the day that it peaked, the top five was okay. We've had some pretty strong top fives in the last couple weeks. I wouldn't say this is the case. Number three was Loungin' by LL Cool J. Number four was Twist It by Keith Sweat. And number five, and I always forget this is the actual name of the song, Quad City DJs with Come On Ride It, and then in parentheses, The Train.
Come on, ride the train and ride it.
And then great just song. Wanted to call out a couple of the one-hit wonders that found their way onto the top 40. Artists that we've already covered included Dishwalla's Counting Blue Cars at 15. Jan Arden's, I'll never get it right.
How much you struggle with her name. It's just Jan Arden. It's
Jan Arden's Insensitive at number 18. Tony Rich Project's Nobody Knows at 27. And sure to be a future One Hit Thunder episode, No Mercy's Where Did You Go at 17.
Oh, is that Where Did You Go?
Go, my lovely.
That's a good one.
Hey, that's... Matt, I think I know why. I think I figured out why you always call her Jan Ardeen. I think you're thinking of Jan and Dean.
Yes. The
60s
Beach Boys
surf one, music.
Yeah, the Beach Boys guys.
Yeah. Hey, some few more things. But before we close out, I want to mention is that Donna Lewis performed on Beverly Hills 90210. Did you guys know that?
I did know that. I saw that clip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was in an episode. I looked deep into like what episode it was. It was on an episode called Phantom of CU, in which Steve meets a mysterious prankster student known as the Phantom of CU while working as a night watchman.
Right.
And his penance for cheating. I don't know what they meant by this. I get it. Steve was cheating, so he had to make up for it by working as a night watchman. But he felt compassion for the Phantom of CU because he learned that it was a student named Larry who was homeless and wanted to graduate from college. Meanwhile, Claire and later Donna tried to arrange a blind date for Kelly, which turned out less than satisfying when the guy, an Englishman named Neil Phillips, annoyed her. Donna begins a new career for herself as the weather girl on CUTV, which unfortunately nets her an unwanted fan. And Tracy helps Claire work on the new college yearbook, and David becomes suspicious of Tom's true motive while helping to get the singer Donna Lewis to perform at the After Dark.
It's a really, really complex storyline there.
Yes,
it's a very
yes.
long plot description for sure. Yeah. The other thing with Donna Lewis, there was two other kind of semi-noteworthy things that I pulled up. Her and Richard Marx collaborated on one of the main songs in Anastasia. That didn't really do anything both at the box office or on the charts, really. And then she did have, while she never had like a mainstream hit, after this she had a number one dance hit with,
whoa.
Did I write down what the song was? Yes. I Could Be the One was a number one U.S. dance hit. And from that, she's lent her voice to lots of house and dance music.
Okay.
And there was one other thing that was kind of interesting about this song is that it exceeded 1 million spins on radio and claimed its place in music industry history of being the most played single up until that point. So I'm sure that that's been surpassed in time, but
it has. But I saw that fact, too, but I couldn't wrap my head around it. Like, why wouldn't it have been the Macarena if it was stuck at two and Macarena was at one?
Well,
shouldn't it have
so,
been
the- so it's because the Billboard charts is based on single sales more than radio play. There's a whole separate chart of radio songs, and I'm sure this did great on radio songs. But remember,
everyone
we talked about
rushing out to buy that Macarena single
because no one was buying the Los. Whatever Del Amitri or whatever is
Los Del Rio. Come on, you can't combine Los Del Amitri. That would be awesome. That'd be an awesome matchup for Girl Talk.
That's actually a real Welsh band name.
Yes,
Los Del Amitri.
Los Del Amitri.
Because remember when we talked about the Dishwalla track, which I think was probably the song that took over after Donna Lewis for one of the most played songs, but that song never even hit number one on the charts, but it was like, because it could fit on top 40 alternative and like seven or eight other stations, it was getting played so much. So I'm sure this song just kind of fit almost any format. Cause in a weird way, I could see this even being qualified into like alternative in the same way that like a Sophie B. Hawkins or like a lot of those other female kind of new agey pop stars would get like lumped into that alternative scene. She was referred to as a less quirky Kate Bush by a couple critics.
Whoa. Like, that's a stretch.
Yeah.
That commercial was directed by the same guy who directed that insane Jean-Claude Van Damme commercial where he like does the split with the the two trucks. That's an all-timer right there.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Look, okay. So before we do, we're going to decide if Donna Lewis is a blunder or thunder. We're going to decide that in a second. But first, you know, Brendan, you're my friend, and I just want to brag about you as my friend on here. I feel like you're such a humble guy. You do all this cool, amazing stuff, and it'll just be like, in passing, like, I made a movie. Like, oh, I just directed these bunch of music videos for all these gigantic bands. I just did. Oh, I won a VMA. No big deal. Like, I feel like no one has ever been more humble or made less of a deal about things that if I did them or if they happened to me, I'd be like,
shouting to the rooftops.
Hey, everybody. Like, it's just, and I mean that as a compliment to you, but I want everyone to know that how proud and glad and proud I am to call you my friend for all the things that you've done. I watched the new Fall Out Boy video you directed. Just came out when we're recording this, just this past week. It's amazing. It's a giant, like, special effects and everything. Like, and you've done a few of those at this point, special effects types videos, but that's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Yeah. I mean, I think that's part of my flaw is not being able to, shout them for the rooftops, because I feel like I'd be maybe a little bit more successful if I could tell people about these things. But
you're pretty damn successful. You're the first guest we've ever had on here with a VMA. You got for best director, right? Or best?
I think best rock video.
Rock video, yeah. But for your work as the director of that video, what I was getting at. That's for Fall Out Boy, Uma Thurman, right?
No, Young and Menace.
I think I got like three or four at this point. High Hopes is the most recent one, Panic at the Disco.
Yeah, the one where he walks up the side of the building?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, look, this shows how much you got one for that too.
Yeah.
Dude, where do you keep these things? You
They're
have Moon Men?
Above me right now, but I'm not going to bring them down, but yes.
You have this dude has multiple Moon Men. That's so cool.
Look, all I'm going to ask is because we're such a, I think that we're a Moon Man worthy podcast if they ever added that as a category. 100%. If you run out of space for the future ones, if you just want to send them to Chris and I, we'll change the front plate and call it.
You could do it like I have one of those office, like the office, the Dundee, where you can change the front plate to like whitest sneakers or whatever. We can just change a One Hit Thunder Moon Man best podcast about One Hit Wonders, whatever. So the VMA thing is amazing. I didn't realize you had... That shows you I'm a bad friend. I didn't realize you had multiple. I knew you had the Uma Thurman one. You did the Wrinkles the Clown documentary. You created the cartoon Walt.
I didn't even piece together you're the Wrinkles the Clown guy. I saw that at Fantastic Fest.
Oh,
it was
nice.
Fantastic.
Thank you. I was there.
wrote and directed the film Spell. You've worked with Sia, Weezer, Lord, Fall Out Boy, The Lonely Island, Train, Panic the Disco, Shawn Mendes, many more. What did you do with The Lonely Island? I saw that on your wiki. I'm like, I didn't know
I just did a series of like lyric videos for them back on that, when they had that album. Yeah.
Right. Still cool. Dude.
Yeah.
This is
awesome.
All such cool stuff. Do you have anything cool? Like, I'm just bragging about you now, but do you have anything cool coming up? You could shout it from the rooftops on our podcast. We celebrate you over here, Brendan.
I'm trying to make another movie. It'd be really fun to make another movie. I got this movie about this hardcore singer who's a real piece of shit. No one wants to be in it, but I'm trying.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love that. Love that. Yeah, man. Oh, and obviously, for anyone who doesn't know, Brendan plays in the band Valencia. That's how we became friends long ago. And amazing band.
Oh, we're playing with Limp Bizkit in a couple weeks, so that's something really fun. We're playing at Bamboozle Festival, which is a real crazy lineup this year. And like Limp Bizkit is the headliner, and somehow it's like Limp Bizkit, Papa Roach, and like us and Say Anything. It's really weird.
That's awesome, man.
I do have one more. This is maybe not interesting at all, but it was very strange because my wife's, this is back to Donna Lewis, sorry.
Uh-huh.
But I was preparing for this weekend, and my wife has two of her old bandmates like staying here with us at our house. And they were like, I was just telling them about this. And they're like, we played for Donna Lewis, like on a series of shows, like a couple years ago, like they opened for her and then she hired them as their band. And she was like, apparently she like just didn't want to rehearse with them. So she's like, well, it's just going to be like a track, but you just got to like mime it.
Oh,
which
God.
Is so funny and weird.
Why?
They were just like, I don't know. They were like, we really want to learn it and play. And she was like, definitely just mime it.
Oh,
which I thought was so strange.
Dang. Why you have musicians? Why would you? That's very strange.
Yeah. Don't have to include that. I just thought it was very funny.
It is
strange.
Interesting and weird.
Yeah.
That's so funny. All right.
Oh, wait,
Thunder Blunder time.
Thunder Blunder time, but I'll tell you two more very, way less interesting than what Brendan just told us, which I thought was interesting. Here's two very not that interesting things. Donna Lewis has one son. I saw a picture of him. He seems big, or maybe she's just small. And I don't mean big like obese. He just seems like a big guy. Like,
yeah, yeah.
He just seems like a large man. and the other... completely Matt's laughing really hard about that. He's just a big guy. And the other part is the least interesting piece of info you'll ever want to know about Donna Lewis. She's a Miley Cyrus fan.
Oh,
that's about as uninteresting of a piece of info as you can get. Okay. Brendan.
Yes.
Does Donna Lewis bring the thunder, or is it a one hit blunder? Should this not have been a hit? Did she not deserve it, or did she bring the thunder?
I think she brought the thunder here. I think this is a hit.
Yeah.
Certified. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think? I can tell Chris is on the fence there.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence. Matt, what do you think?
I love this song. I've actually always really, really liked this song. So much so, here's another one for a future One Hit Thunder bingo card. I bought the record. I've listened to it. You only really need to know I love you always forever, which usually is a huge strike in my decision making. So I'm gonna go ahead and go with blunder on this one. I think that the song itself is fantastic, but I think her just having this one and nothing else with her career is probably accurate.
Sure. I put this song in the same, so maybe I'm not changing my mind. I still think it's a thunder, but I do put it in the same category as like Dreams by Cranberries or like Everywhere by Fleetwood Mac, where like they don't sound like anything else, but they're a song like when it comes on I'm like, let's leave this on. I like this. Like,
I'll
turn this off. I don't like this.
I'll tell you what song this actually reminds me of the most, and I referenced this artist once already, and it's a point of contention between Chris and I, but Sophie B. Hawkins, As I Lay Me. Like, I feel like this song and that song kind of fit into the exact same musical landscape world of like nursery rhyme chorus, kind of slow and ambient background music.
Yeah, I think that's closer to what it really is. You're right.
Yeah.
Or like Truly Madly Deeply, which
Savage Garden, all of that. Correct.
Like, yeah, this song, I've never really been that psyched when this song was on. I have to tell you one thing that I think is really funny.
Yeah.
This throws back to when we first started our conversation. We have right now two people with me on this podcast. One who downloaded so much music that he actually got in trouble for it. And the other one who last time he was at my house said to me, "Man, I saw there's a CD warehouse. I'm going to go check it out," and came back and had spent $60 on compact discs in the year 2023. You have the two ends of the spectrum here.
This is my most recent purchase from last week.
Oh, wow. the dude keeping that format alive. Yeah, Donna Lewis, I think she's pretty cool.
There we go.
I think she's pretty cool. The song doesn't do a lot for me. I went deep into her catalog. I got to tell you, probably my favorite song by her is the song with Richard Marx from Anastasia.
Oh. Yeah.
And I thought that song was pretty good. And when Richard Marx comes in, it's the most Richard Marx sounding thing I've ever heard. I'm like, that is Richard Marx. That is that voice that we all know so well. But unfortunately, I'm going to have to give her... Do I really want to do this? Yeah, I'm going to have to go Blunder because I don't really ever feel like listening to this song.
Yeah, I get that.
You know, I think maybe what just put it right over the edge was she took that Super Bowl money. She took that Super Bowl money, did a parody of her own song. So at that point, she turned her thunder into a blunder. Sorry, Donna Lewis, you took the money and that's fine. That's probably worth more than a thunder on One Hit Thunder. But yeah. But yeah, Brendan, thanks for coming on, man. You're a great guest.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You should come again sometime.
I would love to.
Yeah,
we've got a second song already in the hopper. I think you sent us like 3 or 4 options.
Okay.
Yeah, there's so many out there. It's kind of gnarly and scary, actually, but it's also exciting. Yeah. So yeah, I would love to. This is really fun. Thanks, guys.
Been One Hit Thunder. One Hit Thunder is hosted by Chris Athalios of the bands Punchline, Pack, and Another Cheetah, and produced by Matt Kelly of Geekscape.net. Underneath me, you're hearing Open Up off the Punchline album Action. Subscribe to the podcast A Band Called Punchline for an episode about the recording and release of the album Action. Also, be sure to visit punchline.com for merch, tour dates, and news. We're on Patreon now. Become a patron and get bonus content, early episodes, and a chance to vote on future episodes at patreon.com/OHTpodcast. Do you want to start a podcast? Contact Chris and myself at weknowpodcasting.com for how we can make your show sound as professional as possible. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting app. And tune in next week for more One Hit Thunder.
Hey, what's up? My name's Lurk, and I'm the host of Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast. Every week, I have in-depth conversations with bands from all over the scene, big and small. We also like to keep our finger on the pulse and showcase up-and-coming bands on the show as well. So come check out Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.